Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Go around the room here, Dan. What's the latest you got here?
I don't think the Pirates are going to subtract or sell off anything, and I don't think that that's necessarily a surprise considering what Derek Shelton said today. Aroldis Chapman's going to stick around, and I think a lot of the veterans on the one-year expiring deals are going to stick here throughout the end of the year, so they're not going to be flipping anybody for assets, which is what they've done in previous years. So I think they're going to hold on to what they have.
So no one foot in buying and one foot in selling. No trying to thread the needle business.
Correct. They're not going to try to dump Yasmani Grandal. They're not going to try to dump any salary. Martin Perez, Chapman today, I think, was pretty much hammered home by Shelton. So, no. I think as you see it right now, unless it's actually part of a true baseball trade, I'm not sure that the Pirates are going to mess with their Major League roster.
Jason?
Well, one bit of news. Looks like they're out on Yandy Diaz, according to Francis Romero.
Do we trust him? Do we like him?
Better than MLB underscore scoops, the ice cream scoop thing.
Gracious.
Oh, I got one of those. Somebody was telling me that was an official report from whatever you want to call that. No, I'm good with Romero.
Hey, we're friends with MLB scoops here, Jason. Don't try to burn our bridges.
Don't say we're, okay?
This is
you're
an MLB
friends
scoops
with MLB
friendly
really?
Show.
No, it's an MLB scoops friendly host, even though they hate him.
You're kidding me.
They hate me now?
They hated you the whole time. They were ripping you yesterday.
Oh, okay, whatever.
So now you hate them. Now we're on the same page.
Now we're good, yeah.
So they're out on Diaz. Diaz never for me.
I didn't see the fit, Andrew.
Dan
I mean, I
did.
Like the player.
You
I did.
Liked him a lot.
Where did you see the fit, Dan?
Well, I saw the fit as to where you make it work kind of thing, because I believe that that bat would really lengthen this lineup and you figure
it out.
Whether
you made
just
it
play-
feel like they would maybe bench Hayes to play him.
I think you would play matchups accordingly. You would figure it out.
Well, what's a good matchup for Hayes? It's not a right-handed pitcher. He's hitting like 170 against
right.
him this year.
So, and also, obviously, the year control made a lot of sense. I just got that joke. Oh, boy.
All right, so all right, Romero says they're out on Diaz. Anything
they're out
else?
On Diaz. I like Brian De La Cruz. That's the name that has sort of gained traction lately in the afternoon as
Heyman
some other guys.
Said gap in talks. Do you think they'll close that gap?
I mean, I think they can. I think that's within striking distance for them. I think they can make that happen. I don't think they're going to sell the farm, literally and figuratively.
What,
but De La
what
Cruz
constitutes
is attainable.
Selling the farm for them? Once we get into what, their top 10 prospects, is that selling the farm?
Yeah, arms.
All right, let me ask you this, 10. Jason. Here's something from J.J. Cooper. He's Baseball America.
Yep.
This was not even a half hour ago. He writes, this will sound like a contradiction. One, the price being paid in prospects so far seems quite high in a lot of these deals. Two, we have yet to see any truly premium prospects traded. As of yet, no Baseball America top 100 prospect has been moved. I would take that second line. Now, that's their rankings. They're always going to be a little bit different, but I think most of those places are fairly close on a decent number of these guys. That would tell me you don't have to give away a top 100 guy. to get De La Cruz?
Oh, I don't think you do.
Okay.
I don't think you would have
how
to
many
get top
100 guys do they have right now in most services? Three, maybe?
Three
Johnson,
or four?
Chandler.
I don't think Johnson is still a top 100
he might have
guy.
Okay, so Chandler
for Chandler's
sure.
the only one.
I think Ashcraft might be at the tail end.
Okay, there's
wait,
two.
When they assume they sign this Griffin kid, he'll be?
Yeah, he'll be up. So okay. Well, he'll be close. I mean, they're not going to trade
but obviously not.
Connor
but, okay, but, so you're saying like, what? Outside their top 10 organizationally, you can just package like 12 and 15?
I would think so. Jesse Winker brought back, what, the 17th ranked prospect in the Mets system?
Can you, okay, I'm glad you brought that up.
Why the hell do they not make that trade?
Why didn't they make the Jazz Chisholm trade? Can you clear that up? Because one of the things I think I saw a lot of people saying, and I felt this way too, was, wait a minute, the Yankees, one, it's insane to me that they always seem to have the prospect capital to do these deals. Same with the Dodgers. Two, it didn't seem like they paid a huge price for Jazz Chisholm. What's your understanding, either of your guys, on like on the price they paid versus the Pirates, who were allegedly a close runner-up? Which made me feel like I was Reese Bobby from Talladega Nights. If you ain't first, you're last. I don't really care.
Did the Marlins call the teams that didn't get him and say, this is where you ranked?
Yes. And
That doesn't actually happen, Jason.
I don't think so.
Ben, you were second, brother.
I bet you they called every team and said, like, you're a close second. You're right there. You know, we're really considering this. This is a really difficult decision. I mean, I can't imagine they called people back and said, look, you were third. You could have been second if you got
here. You're actually fifth. We barely considered you.
And I don't, for like what the Pirates offer lacked, or like what the Pirates could have done
to
get over the
hump. I guess you know why I'm asking, because it's weird just to see the Yankees always have something at their disposal that's,
I know. And it's weird to see the Pirates always finishing right there. I mean, I know I was texting with an agent this afternoon. And
congratulations on all your success.
Is that this can't be those fun that Come fun on. Of text to send out all the time. Those guys are probably very busy right now.
It's the job. It's you hopefully build those relationships other times. But we were talking about the Pirates' strategy in doing this, and everything has to equal out for them. That is one thing I think is very typical of the Pirates, that like they're not gonna overpay. Everything is done economically. They weight this side, they weight this side. If the scale doesn't balance, goodbye. And so, like, they might have had an idea for Chisholm. This is what we feel the value is. And here comes the Yankees, maybe because they're used to overpaying or they don't really care as much.
But they get
much.
To put their thumb on the scale because they might overvalue their own players. That's the issue here, as I see it. Dan, you think they get the De La Cruz thing over the finish line?
I think that has an opportunity to do some things for the Pirates, and I do think that they can get something done there. I do. It has some legs, and I think that what that would take, I'm not sure that it would take something in their top 10, but because of the control with De La Cruz, I think you're more apt to go.
So what's the contract situation with him?
Arbitration for the first time this winter.
Right, so he doesn't hit free agency until 2028. I think you will be willing to wade in those 10 through 20 waters, maybe multiple guys.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
For that sort of control.
So your Xander Muths, things of that nature, or your
correct.
Hunter Barcos.
Yep. Your Mitch Jebs.
Yep. Can I interest you in a Shaylin Polanco, for example?
Am I going to say at the end of the deadline, if this happens and that's who they get, mission accomplished? Should I?
I'm okay
with
it.
If Brian De La Cruz is their big...
How much does he
lengthen? I think there's a lot.
How much does he lengthen that lineup? You said Diaz would lengthen the lineup. I know he adds thump.
Yeah.
Is he getting on base enough?
I think enough. I don't know if it's going to set people, ablaze and thinking, like, here it comes. This is the World Series run. I don't think it's going to be insane, but I mean, there's pop.
Is he enough of a player that you think it, like, satisfies the basic fan urge of, we are in it, we've done something? You know what I'm... We're in the mix.
Yeah.
People want their team to be in the mix.
I think... I've heard this sentiment a lot today, Chris, that if they didn't do anything, boy, would that just kick everybody in the you-know-what.
Who's everybody? Fans are talking about inside their own organization.
I think maybe both. I think it would have a negative impact.
So like Gensel getting traded like that?
I mean, I can't predict how the Pirates are going to react, but I don't think it would go over terribly well if they didn't do anything. And I think De La Cruz checks that box of at least doing something. There's a reason why you would make that trade. And again, I still think he's 27, but he's probably getting better. I was talking to an NL scout on the way in here, guys. And he was talking about how he likes the swing, how he approaches at bats, always putting himself in a position to hit. The numbers are, they're not going to knock your socks off. 724 career OPS, but there's some ability there, and he's gotten to it over the past 2 years.
feel the same way, Dan, about that? Like, in terms of it just satisfying that we are doing something here, like how much, what would you give a grade like that, assuming they gave away prospect-wise what you guys both discussed?
So, I mean, it's somebody that has an opportunity to be a part of your outfield for a long time to come and is, I guess, is close to a bona fide big leaguer, checking every box that they have. So, yeah, I think that that's a young, I don't want to say budding star, but it is a solid big league bat that's controllable that you're spending a lot of prospect capital on. Yeah, that's the deal that you want, I think, as a sensible Pirate fan, right? That is under control for a long time, that has an opportunity to be very solid in that outfield. It addresses the need. This is the exact type of deal that they need to go out and make.
Yep.
I mean, so how could you be displeased?
The last two seasons.
How could you be? I guess there's bigger, sexier
names.
Because
he wasn't Jazz Chisholm or something like that.
Yeah, when Rosenthal talked about
those guys side by side.
I'd rather have Chisholm because he plays center field.
Also, it doesn't help that Chisholm in his first game with the Yankees hit two home runs.
No, I mean, I think he, De La Cruz would be their third best hitter right now. Right?
Right. And
behind Cruz and behind Reynolds.
And you need some right-handed power. You need some right-handed power, too.
Yes. He would be tied for the team lead in home runs. I mean, I have to reconfigure what my expectations are at the deadline now that we're less than 3 hours out, and I started the show by saying I'm very cynical and skeptical of things. If they got De La Cruz, I would feel better about their chances.
We give it like a B trade.
Yeah,
that's
it
like
still
a
doesn't,
letter grade
it still doesn't solve center field, though, Dan.
No, it doesn't, but you can address center field. Yeah, well, I'm sorry, but I mean, you can go address center field in a better way than you did last offseason this winter. Like, that is still...
Yeah, but that doesn't do anything for me the next 50 games.
So
I'm trying
you're
to make trade-offs.
Right, it doesn't matter where you improve the offense, as long as you're improving the offense. The offense doesn't have to come from a particular... Why does it have to come from center and not right?
Because I'm trying to get the bad bat out of center field, is what I'm trying to do.
How much do you think, as a team, internally, they still, like... Just because of what Telez has done, they are hoping against hope. Maybe Michael A. Taylor finally figured it out last night. I'm asking that like almost, I feel like it should be facetious, but I'm serious.
No, Chris, that's a completely, I was asking myself that last night or just after this deadline in general, looking at the G1 Bay injury, maybe Joshua Palacios. What if they would end up playing Taylor? I don't know. You add De La Cruz, you add a bat in the corner, and then you need Taylor's defense. And that becomes your outfield. You play him every day and hope against hope.
I thought the same thing when he hit that home run. I thought the same exact thing as you.
And you can also afford to carry the luxury that is a glove only player with
a bat
like a De La Cruz there.
It's
far more palatable.
I don't mind a glove only player if he's hitting on the pace of a guy who hit 21 home runs last year.
Or somebody can pick up the slack for him, and De La Cruz would.
You know what I mean? A bad offensive player who hits the ball over the fence and does nothing else is still valuable in some ways.
But the issue is that third base right now is a glove only position, and second base might be a glove only position too. I can't have three in my lineup, right?
And when Paul Skenes pitches, you have four because Yasmani Grandal is, I know he hit a rocket last night. That's also glove only.
Sure. So, like, De La Cruz just lengthens their lineup by one guy. They probably need to lengthen their lineup by two or three guys.
You're not wrong, but I don't think they're going to pay the prospect capital that would take. I think we have to look at this way they would.
That's why I've been saying for 6 weeks that perhaps this is a bridge too far to cross based on what you've just laid out. Three players, that's a lot to do. At the trade deadline, are they better huddling up and trying to attack this and spend their prospect capital in November and December? That's why I'm okay with that plan as well, because this probably isn't the best time to put window treatments on the house when you have, as you just alluded to, maybe some more press.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Foundation.
That's Jason Mackey's buddy, John Morosi, talking about
my favorite
Angels acquisitions and how whenever I hear the Pirates are competing with the Yankees and Red Sox on a trade, I just give up. I'm conditioned to just think, well, the other teams
will do more.
When's
the last time they beat those teams in the Josh Bell sweepstakes, which promptly resulted in baseball redoing its rules for draft pick signing bonuses? That's pretty much the last time it happened.
Who else was in on Archer? Do we remember? Were they bidding against themselves?
It doesn't matter. it doesn't matter because they actually got the guy. We don't have to worry about the second place finishers.
I don't know about you. I know about Chris. I don't know about you two. I don't really want Ward. The guy has been a disaster. 169 in July against righties. He hits 201 with a 293 on base percentage. He's been hit in the face with a fastball twice in the last year, and I think it screwed him up.
Reported vision problems, I think. Like sometimes he has vision issues or like equilibrium issues from what I understand.
What we had heard was just he was essentially gun shy and that like teams knew it. And so the book was just bust him up inside and he'll back off the plate and he's kind of useless.
I mean, what's the point of having scouts if they can't identify that? I would think that would make him a non-starter for the Pirates.
Well, more so than scouts, Andrew. I don't love the contract. 4.8 this year, arbitration 2 this offseason. It's going to go up. Are you really getting the value for that? And you're going to give up to get that?
It's fair.
I always have to reconfigure my answers when I think of, are you getting value for X number? Because if the Yankees were paying Key Brian Hayes what the Pirates are paying him, they'd probably feel like the defense alone was worth $7 million or $8 million bucks.
I mean, yeah, I would do it. You're not getting...
Danny, he's hitting 169 this month.
You're probably going to trade something from 25 to 29 on a prospect list to get him, and that's it. Maybe another throw-in guy, but you're not gonna.
Better. I like Renifo better. He seems like a Pirates player to me because he can play all over the place. He's like a Josh Harrison type.
I think I'd be more inclined for this year just to go get like a Pilar at that point.
And then
reconfigure in the offseason.
I'm with you, Andrew. I would take Renifo over the two
looks
of them.
Very appealing compared.
He's one of only 11 guys in baseball hitting 300 this year.
I know. I'm with you. I'm not disagreeing
with
it.
Switch hitter can play right field, left field, second base, third base. I discovered the guy 2 hours ago.
Can we bring in Pilar and hypnotize him that it's the month of May only because the other 3 or 4 months this year he sucks. He does.
Dan, why are you a Pilar guy?
I know. He was being set up to be agreed with.
He's 35 years old. He's been a defensive first guy for 12 years.
I understand.
You already have Michael A. Taylor on your team.
But if we're going to put him opposite of Ward, that's what I'm saying, just for a rental.
Just comparing. Strictly compared to Ward, you would take him.
Correct.
If the cost on Ward was exceptionally low, and to what you're saying, Dan, if it was like 25 through 29... and it was a very easy package, I might be okay with that. I'm not paying
all the reporting is he's not psychologically getting hit in the head multiple times with a pitch.
So that means you never...
I mean, there's risk. There's risk you're taking on.
We had a third baseman who forgot how to throw the ball to first base. I mean, mental issues in baseball are real, man.
I'm aware, and I said previously...
Ricky Ankiel was in the Pirates division. This stuff happens.
Dude, I'm not sitting here advocating them getting him. I'm just saying if it was a very low-risk package, I would be okay with it. You're looking at the prorated portion of 4.8. If he ends up being a train wreck, well, you non-tender him this offseason. That's all I'm saying.
Multiple reports now that Luis Robert Jr. will not be traded. Should the Pirates have tried hard on that one?
They wanted a haul that was, and I'm sure the price has come down, but the last time I think I heard anything reported on what the potential ask for Robert would have been, it was something similar to what Juan Soto
yielded.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what
like
we heard.
Like five-player, so, massive.
So no.
But so man, no. He would have been perfect for this team.
I'm not giving up. I'm
that's
not okay 40
home
giving
run
up
power
that much.
Playing center field.
Yeah, but you're probably giving up Bubba Chandler to make that happen.
So what?
And more.
What's Bubba Chandler in the long run? Is he going to be better than Skeens or Jones or Keller?
He's going to be a formidable part of that rotation in the very short future.
Where,
I would argue.
Where would he slot in? If he reaches his potential, is he their number two behind Skeens? Is he that good?
I'd rather have 40 home run power.
I feel like
power
that's an insult to Jared Jones or
agreed.
Mitch Keller.
But I mean, 40 home run power in a fourth pitcher.
Yeah, I mean, I want the four of them. I want Skeens, Jones, Keller.
My only hang up on Luis Robert Bubba. Was that he's not always healthy. That's my
Which
only
hang up. Which is a pretty substantial hang up.
It is a large hang up, but it is my only one.
I have no hang up on Luis Robert Jr. I just don't want to pay an arm and a leg, which I think.
I don't know. A career 816 OPS for that type of return?
Dan, what is the type? Well, okay, when you're saying in the
there are 5 years,
saying, Dan,
1 year where he hockey sticked a 38 home run season. Everything else is a dozen to 13.
Well, that's because he doesn't play a lot of games.
Homers.
To Chris's point,
right?
I don't think the Pirates have the minor league system to offer a Juan Soto package. I don't think they have the players to do that. Do you?
Let
me ask you this question. How many major league hitters do they have in their minor leagues right now who you look at, this guy's going to be an everyday player and he's going to be a good player for this team? How many guys?
Yeah, not many.
Just on the hitting side?
Yep.
Yeah.
Position.
One or two.
Nick York? Tom York from Radiohead?
I mean, Nick York's already their fifth rated prospect if you go by MLB.com.
Mitch Jeb?
It's not a lot.
I'm fanning myself thinking about the Mitch Jeb era. Doesn't he have the funky batting stance?
He does. Yeah. He's got a real weird
Sung
stance.
Sung Jae Chang. We know that Jack Brannigan's legit because if the Rays wanted Jack Brannigan, he probably should be on the major league club right now.
Jason, how much pressure do you think is on Ben Cherington to do something more? If he doesn't and we get to 6 o'clock and the De La Cruz thing falls apart and they don't make a trade and what we see is what we get with Walker, Beeks, and York, what will be the reaction from the guy that puts his name on his checks? You talk to him at the Sheets event, and we've run with those comments because we've never heard Bob Nutting talk about baseball like that before.
Neither have I. Been on the beat for a few years. I've never heard Bob Nutting speak like that. I think he would be disappointed, and I think he would want an explanation. Now, if Charrington's explanation was, these were the deals, this was the bridge that I would have to cross, Bob might be okay with that. I don't think Bob is okay selling the farm. I do think Bob wants them to do something. Does Bob know what some of that stuff might cost? I have some doubts. If he knows practically what a trade would mean in terms of losing prospect capital. But I think that Charrington faces a lot more pressure outside, Andrew, than inside the organization. Dan, would you say that's fair?
I would agree that there's a lot of autonomy that Ben Charrington has and Nutting doesn't meddle in.
He's not operating this for his job right now.
No. He doesn't have a deep understanding of it.
So if they don't make a big move, you're not going to look at budget or payroll. You're going to look at Charrington valuing his own players.
Just objective baseball reasons.
I think that there are some guiding principles that Bob Nutting sets forth. Pretty much. That we need to be strong from within. We need to have a sustainable farm system that can carry this organization from here to perpetuity. That's the pipe dream. And you're to use it accordingly. Whether that's to acquire players, yes, but also, again, to be the core.
But the bias is more to keep them and develop them, clearly.
Absolutely. Because that's the only shot that they really have.
Donnie, you haven't said anything in a while. How does the De La Cruz thing tickle your fancy?
I think he's pretty much their best shot at like giving a jolt to the clubhouse, the fan base, if you want to throw that in there. Because people can at least pull something up and say, oh, this guy actually has some pop. You can put this guy in the middle of the lineup. He's not just like a veteran who is maybe at the end of the line in his career. I think he should be their number one option as of right now because, quite frankly.
That was from a couple of weeks ago, and now we're 2.5 hours away, no longer 2 weeks. The sands are slipping through the hourglass here on our PM team trade deadline roundtable. Dan Zangrilli, who you hear before the Astros game tonight. Then after it on The Fan, Jason Mackey will be writing about all of this in the Post-Gazette. Malzie's here, Donnie as well. That was Derek Shelton put it right on the table not too long ago that they needed to add a bat. How about taking away from the major league team to get one? What if there's another contending team who says, we have extra bats, which not many teams have that, but we have extra bats. We might even have a guy that's AAA ready who would start for most teams, but he can't start for ours because he's blocked, like when Giles was blocked in Cleveland or when Ryan Howard had Jim Thome ahead of him before the DH was in the National League. Something like that.
We've heard Ben Charrington talk a lot about the deadline and use a lot of words to talk about the deadline.
Oh, my God. He's made more word salads than Olive Garden.
But if you listen closely, however,
he's talking about what we're talking about.
And he will kind of drop his subtle hints in there. You have to piece it all together like a rolling code. But he mentioned that contenders would trade with other contenders in the true baseball
Phillies
trade
and Orioles
sense.
Did that.
Right. And we could be looking at a situation where you involve major league talent with prospects or just a major leaguer for a major league.
So it's pitching, like the Pirates have pitching.
Right.
Other teams have hitting. And
I would think the guy that starts tonight would be a candidate for that.
Very well could be.
Yeah. I wouldn't have a problem with that. I think that's dealing from a position of strength. I think that's striking while the iron is hot, so to speak. I think they have a lot of places they can go if they wanted to deal from a position of strength and acquire something they need.
I wonder if they would want their rotation to have a lefty that they liked in it, though, the old give them a different look thing.
Well, they still have Gonzalez and Perez.
I mean, liked is why I said put that.
But what makes you think they like Fulton more than those two guys, Malzie?
Because he's better than those two guys?
I'm not convinced. Danny, you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, if I had my druthers of the three lined up, pick one, I'm going to pick Fulton.
Because he's younger.
Yes, and I just think that, you know, extension, you know, long arms sneaks up on you. Some of the metrics are just a little bit better there. I think that there's a little more swing and miss. I would pick Falter, but that doesn't make him, by any stretch of the imagination, untouchable. That doesn't mean you can't go out and get like and kind in the offseason by either trade or signing. I mean, the bullpen's really an area that kind of stands out as something that's easily replaceable, and a small market team like the Pirates, if they would move somebody, they can replenish that. And that's been, I think, kind of a small market mantra. It was a Huntington staple, and to an extent, I think it's a Charrington staple. Just always trade relievers if you can.
Well, it should be schemable too, Dan, right? Like you're hunting matchups, you find this pitch that maybe wasn't used, didn't perform as well in a previous market. You should be able to bring that guy in, make him better, find something he does well, and make good use of them. And frankly, Charrington and company, they've done a pretty good job of that. They found guys and made them better.
Not overall,
as relievers.
Though, because you absolutely ripped his trade record to shreds today.
Well, that's a different discussion. That's a different discussion, isn't it? Like, we're not talking about finding a bit part reliever and making him useful. We're talking about trading Josh Bell, Clay Holmes, Jameson Taillon, and getting nothing back for them.
And so let's go ahead and tie a value to what all of the Harvard Ivy League GMs are talking about now. They're talking about pitch value. So if we want to talk about trading relievers or just trading, you know, assets and players.
Who's got the most valuable pitch in that bullpen?
The Majinski sweeper breaking ball is really good, and then obviously Holderman's got that. He's got a couple of pitches grayed out very well.
So when you say those guys, that's when you started talking about like the bullpen, that's the area where I think there's some redundancy, because Chapman's been kind of on the comeback trail as far as being lights out. Majinski and Holderman are both righties with power stuff.
I know this is crazy to think. I mean, Dennis Santana's been really good.
Yes, he has been.
I don't know if they've really inflated the value on him. Maybe they think of him differently, and they make some other guys expendable. I don't know.
My point is, it just seems like for the 7th, 8th, and 9th, they have four pitchers for three innings right now.
I'd rather trade a prospect for a player, but if the only way to get a major league hitter is to deal with a contender who needs something now and I have to give up a bullpen piece to do that, I would do it.
And I think that's where you can exploit desperation, maybe. with some of these contenders.
Right, they actually have leverage
I also think paradoxically that even though it's a major league player, you know what they can do. I almost get the feeling like that a guy like Cherington, who has talked about his prospects the way he has, would be more comfortable giving up a major leaguer for a major leaguer. Well, I know what this guy's done. I feel like I've probably seen the best of so-and-so, or I know what he is. Now, Clay Holmes, obviously, was not a situation like that, whatever. But like, I think that a guy like Cherington, there's so much value in the unknown of a prospect that it's easier to make a major leaguer for major leaguer deal sometimes.
And if it's plus three, when I say plus three or plus two or whatever, it's I'm talking years of control, and then we have somebody else that could be plus five, plus six.
That's why my theory on what they've said about Chapman, it almost makes me think that they've shopped him around and teams don't want him because of his salary. Because why else would they say that? If they're willing to take major league talent off this roster and get rid of a surplus player for a guy in a position of need, why wouldn't Chapman be someone that you thought about in that way?
I don't know.
He's done at the end of the year.
So when we're talking,
he's been up and down. He's been great lately, but he might 2 weeks from now not be able to throw strikes.
Yeah, I mean, it behooves them right now for Derek Shelton to say what he said, right? Like, they might have shopped him, and they might come back with nothing, and they said, we're going to call him this, and then it's going to be dealing from a position of strength. I'm not sure.
You're also dealing with, on the other end, not to interrupt, Jason, but you're also dealing with, on the other end of the phone, the nuance of that team's bullpen construction, whether they need a left-hander, whether they need a right-hander. Do they need a certain pitch in that bullpen? That's why I'm talking about pitch value. Hey, maybe we need a really heavy two-seam fastball to roll a double play, get out of an inning in inherited runner situations. We're good with our two left-handers. We need a right-hander. Or we need a swing and miss slider to the second and third no out situations when we need swing and miss. Maybe that's a Carmen Majinski type of thing. So that's when you get into that sort of stuff.
All
you're
I'm
into
saying,
the,
Dan, is that
if if Chapman was paid like a normal reliever, I think he could be traded.
I just don't think
sorry,
on the.
Million,
I just don't think
on,
if we're saying that Ben was willing to explore these options, I just deny the idea that Chapman was untouchable.
He's probably not, but again, it goes into like, hey, I have Chapman. Oh, yeah, we would like that guy, but we don't have a need for him. We need this. We need this type of pitcher, this handedness, this pitch type. We have two left-handers already that we feel comfortable about. We need a right. I'm just saying, when you get into those conversations with contenders.
But who's going to turn down a lefty with a two-seamer?
You might have redundancy in your bullpen. You don't need carry three left-handers.
How many guys are like him, though, dude?
Or Chapman. I understand that.
I understand not paying $10.5 million or a prorated portion of that. I probably wouldn't do that either. But don't tell me they're like, 25 or oldest Chapman's
around
the league.
I think he's a guy who, if a team is willing to still take Mr. Toad's wild ride, he's your closer if you need one, because he's going to throw 100 miles an hour.
Or I could do what Texas did last year with him, and he's your setup man and helps you get to a World
Series.
That's
my point. I don't even look at him as a lefty or a righty. I know he's a lefty. I look at him as he throws absolutely insane gas, and when he actually locates it, no one can hit him.
Well, and that's, he's got a track record of that ugly stuff rears its head, man. Maybe teams just don't want to deal with it. If we're gonna catch him on one of his downslides in the middle of September, we don't need to deal with that.
The money part of it, because it's the prorated amount of $10.5 million, is so ridiculous to me that everyone around baseball, like I don't doubt your guys' knowledge of this, but come on, there are big market teams for whom that is a drop
in
the bucket.
Can we talk about the fact that the Pirates are in this situation where we're desperate for guys like Dan mentioned, Kevin Pillar, who stinks, and Brian De La Cruz, who's a good player, not a great player. Because so many of their own internal options just blew up in their face this year. And you guys said that you don't think that Bob Nutting is like out on Ben Cherington, but if he's going to praise the guy for the work he's done with their young pitching, he has to be absolutely livid with what's happened with their young hitting.
I guess the only saving grace there is that it's a league-wide epidemic.
But it struck them worse.
They're damn near
patient
zero.
They got hit by the depression worse than everybody else. Some cities, survived the depression better than others, Dan.
I mean, Seattle's a pretty bad situation offensively.
Okay.
So I guess
good teams, it's them in Seattle, because the Marlins and White Sox are the only teams, generally speaking, who are worse offensively.
Right. I mean, but don't get me wrong. It is, there are aspersions to be cast, because there are definitely...
Another back of a Pirates t-shirt slogan. Aspersions to be cast.
This season was blown up by three guys, in my opinion.
Sawinski, Davis,
and Hayes. I hate to stick a finger right in the chest of three guys, but...
Why? They all suck.
But that's true.
It's not just them. I mean, I'm not absolving them. But I mean, if you're Bob Nutting and we're talking about the Pirates developing younger players, that's not optional. That's not optional to be able to do that, to develop young hitters. And I agree with you, Andrew. The hitting has lagged behind the pitching. The pitching, you can give them a lot of credit for what they've done. Hitting has not held up its end of the bargain. That's not a right now problem, but it's an off-season discussion
the
point.
The approach just seems a complete mess that we've heard.
Well, wait a minute, Jason. Why wouldn't it have been addressed this year? I mean, other teams, Sean Casey went from hanging out in Upper St. Clair to putting a Yankees uniform on last year.
I don't think
it happens.
I know, and I don't see this organization doing that. I think we're past the point of talking about making a change with Andy Haynes in the middle of the season, right? I mean, at every turn, they've sort of backed this guy and backed the principles
that are going on.
I don't suddenly expect them to hire a brand new hitting coach.
The whole point of so many of these guys that get GM jobs now in baseball come from, like Dan said, this educational background where the answer of we've always done things this way and that's why we're going to continue to do them does not work as a defense or an argument. So the fact that the Pirates have really never fired a coach in season should not be a reason to keep
a guy
around. I know,
but what we're talking about isn't the fault of the Major League hitting coach. There's much more that goes into the development of young players than the Major League hitting coach.
But so, doesn't he set the agenda and it gets passed
down
to the minor
leagues? In a way, but you have an entire development wing.
So there's, again, there's something far more overarching league-wide, and the Pirates, as you mentioned, have fallen more victim to it than others. And I'm just opening up a scorebook from random parts of the year in May. The Cubs. Here are their 4 through 9 hitters: 215, 263, 216, 222, 147, 188. Let's flip forward to mid-June, Minnesota. Here's their 4 through 9 hitters: 261, 279, 273, 221, 222, 254.
Yes, Dan, but again, I'm going to say it's hit them worse than these other teams.
Tampa Bay, 214.
They're 28th in OPS.
They can ill afford to be the team that gets hit hardest by
it.
They've got to be on the cutting edge.
They do. And it's fair to question everything and even advocate for change, and that's something that I would look long and hard.
But I'm saying if I weren't Bob Nutting's shoes, I would say to my GM, you're asking me to open up the purse strings for you because the guys you told me were going to hit have not. And it's not, hey, everyone gets one or two guys wrong. No one does a perfect draft or no one develops every prospect. But it's like the whole...
Your 1-1 catcher can't hit. Right. Suddenly.
And
your outfielder who had real actual power, a coveted thing, a lefty thump bat.
And I think they screwed him up. That's my theory. I think they messed him up.
Sure. Jack Suwinski should go up to the plate with zero thoughts in his head other than swing bat hard.
Yep. Yes.
Instead, they tried to make Jack Suwinski into the cerebral assassin, and the only person he killed was his own career.
Yeah. Bingo. Bullseye.
Yep.
All right. We got to let you guys run. Does something big happen between now and 6? Jason?
Not big, but something does happen. I'll say De La Cruz happens.
Dan?
Yeah, I'm in that camp. I think they're going to
say Kevin Pillar just to piss Pony off one more time. Just say Pillar.
Frankly, there aren't a ton still
optional issues.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.